The Trash Pork Podcast is brought to you in part by DirtyParks.com
and GH Graphics and their Junket Apparel line.
The 2015 Bash for Cash and Smash and Demolition Derby. Full Lockwood Motorsports and the 2015 Keystone Nationals.
Napa Winter Slam 2015.
And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marport.
Good afternoon, good evening, welcome to episode number 66 of the Crash Course. I put up Dan Bolton's graphic a little bit too early. Yep, and there we go. Getting closer. We'll get it figured out. Anyway, we got a full show on deck. I mean, all the stuff that we got to get through tonight. I don't know how we're going to pack it into a very fast hour. We got Dan Bolton here in studio, hanging out over there with Josh Decker on the couch. We've also got Brian Tompkins here in studio. So there's Brian. I don't know why this isn't working. There we go. There's a couple things that I missed over here. I don't know what's going on with this.
Chris, are you all right? 2015, man.
It's been busy, man.
Are you hungover today, or what, brother?
No, not at all. Not at all. Today has been a busy, busy day. We got some of the apparel that we were waiting on picked up, but my phone has been going crazy with all sorts of news. We got new news out of Pennsylvania. Bo Lockwood is at it again. Keystone Nationals entries opened on the 1st of January. 36 cars, all drivers you haven't heard of. All the people that you expect to be registered to Keystone Nationals haven't sent their paperwork in, and there's a Canadian invasion taking place. Yeah, there is a ton of cars coming out of Canada, so that was cool. He is also stepping up to the plate, helping out the guys from Mercer Speedway. I don't know if you're familiar with the dirt track scene, but Mercer Speedway around the new year always does this enduro race, 150 laps. But inclement weather, they said, you know what? We're not going to do it. Canceled it. So, Bo Lockwood, who owns Thunder Mountain Speedway, not the one Brian's thinking of, it's the Thunder Mountain in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. in Brookville, he is going to have, at sometime in February, and all the other details are coming together because he hatched this idea about 4 hours ago, he's going to have a 100-lap enduro race for the four-cylinder cars and a clean-up derby for the limited weld cars and a clean-up derby for the stock cars at his racetrack. And it's going to be in the middle of the day. We've got some discussions that we need to have here in house regarding that. how cold do you want to be?
So wait a
minute.
Our
February
is looking sort of busy.
I need to. Yeah, I'm obviously taking February off of work. Right? Is that what we're kind of going to?
It's starting to look that way. At least the weekends.
February's supposed to be like not derby season.
Hey, here's the thing. It's actually one of the topics that we got to get into. January 25th is Pine City.
My birthday also.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Because the world is worried about that. You're no icon.
What are you, 55?
Wow.
Are you 55?
You're a spry 55.
Hey, how far do I have to drive to knock you out of your seat? That's all I want to know, Decker. How far?
So after you have Pine City in Tennessee, Nikki Howard Baker is going to be taping that indoor show. Then we go to Winter Slam, which is the same day as Sturgis. The week after that is February 13th. That's the Sciopa show in Kissimmee, Florida.
Yep.
And now Bo Lockwood is talking about doing something either that weekend or the weekend after at Thunder Mountain Speedway. And then the Derby Bank is the 28th.
Wow.
So the Derby season starts about – it starts earlier than NASCAR and goes later.
We're gonna start just drawing so you know. Straws. I can't do all that.
No. Yeah.
Well,
no,
that's,
no.
Like I said, we'll talk at home a little bit about it, and we'll kind
by home
shake
you mean
it out.
Sitting here after we get done.
Maybe. I mean, it's one of those things where I don't really know. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I have no real direction to go with it yet because they don't know what they're doing yet. It's something that just came together. I did not put a gun to Brian's head and say you have to be there. However, I'm looking at you.
Bo is like. He's got a lot of cool stuff on his plate right now. That guy's like, he's got a lot of stuff he's running with, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he grabbed right a hold of that.
Yeah.
I mean, he grabbed right a hold of that.
How awesome is it guys from Canada are coming down? Because, like, that's not really on the border. There's a lot of other places you can run, and guys are saying, I'm coming all the way that way for that show.
Very cool. Saturday.
We're going to be catching up with Greg Johnson from Impact Motorsports here in just a few minutes from up in Canada, so we'll be able to touch on that stuff. But you were saying, Brian, about Saturday.
Saturday at Blizzard Bash, Ben and myself, we met up with Rick and Ron McClung.
Yes.
I can't pronounce his last name.
Rick Clark and Ronald.
Yeah, we stood there talking for probably the better part of an hour. Just, you know, talking Derby and listening to these guys talk. And I think they had both mentioned that they were considering coming down to run Bo's show. And, I mean, just great Derby guys. I'm really looking forward to watching
them. I can neither
them.
Confirm nor deny that Rick Clark's entry was among those.
Okay.
Which is sort of interesting because he said the same thing when we stood there at Keystone Nationals and talked with him. He goes, I got to be here next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember? He did.
Yeah, and I would really love
to. We talked with him for easily an hour there. We did the same thing when I saw him in Ohio.
Yeah.
That guy's so awesome. You know, you look at a guy like him, he seems so calm. And, just,
and that's why
and
he's
just,
so good.
I know.
Nothing bothers him.
I know. He's a right mentality him. To yeah. be a great Derby driver.
Absolutely.
I know. He's just calm and slow, and he's good shit.
Also, make an announcement. Awesome. I was texting with Ben earlier, asked him if he wanted to come up to the show
yes.
tonight. And he said next week for sure he will be back. So,
yep. So Ben's
back
be
is
back
feeling better.
Week.
Things are going good. So he'll be back in here, and we'll have the count going next week.
I'll bring a subframe up.
And
drop it off, Ben. Plan on it. Get that welder.
He can sit and talk. I don't think he's quite ready to build it yet.
What another thing is we just rolled out all the forms and stuff last night so that you can be, you know, an honorary member of Team Smashed Empire at Kings of Old School.
Well, you already have the four-car team, right?
I know. All I was doing was trying to work out the background, and I started fiddling with it a little and made some graphics. And when I put the pictures up, whoa, some people took that personal. That got wild.
Yeah, those aren't real.
Yeah, those don't exist. They probably aren't ever going to see the light of day. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Dan Bolton has already said he's going to PayPal me the money for his.
He gets loaded anyway. It's fine.
Basically you get some graphics and you get some apparel from Reckless Abandon and you get to be on the podcast and stuff like that. And already got, you know, we're coming up on 40 entries.
Good.
Which is really cool. I mean, that's appreciate the response.
Well, think of this. All these drivers out there, think of how much you and I have heard, how all of us have heard, I want to get sponsored. How do I get sponsors? How do I find sponsors? Finally, somebody's saying, I will sponsor somebody. Get your form in. I mean, it couldn't get any easier than that. I mean,
tell me why you. No, it's not even a lottery. It's a straight up judge
contest.
Only
one person's going to get it.
One person's going to win it, and you got to tell me why you over everybody else.
And
simple
the reason because I'm the best is not a good reason. Give us a good reason. Because I've seen some of them reasons, and you lost. You know, that's actually your selling point. So try to work out a good thought there on that.
Not everybody's a salesman, you are, Decker. You gotta
I'm trying to give you clues. Clue, sell me on it. I'm a salesman.
Sell yourself. Sell yourself.
No, it's kind of exciting. And it was all Chris's idea. I think it's just such a cool idea. And it just works out. We want to help somebody local out, you know, somebody that's in our area. And I think it's just kind
of
cool.
Something else I'm thinking that we're going to get into, not necessarily coinciding with Kings of Old School, we'll try and maybe pair this up to another show that we go to through the course of the summer. Plus, it'll give me a little bit of distance from it because there's a lot of stuff going on right now. And by the way, the next issue of Derby Inc. Magazine is due out in about 3 weeks.
Hey,
got that to worry about.
We never talked about it. The article that you wrote about Rick and Jimmy Sine, probably the best article I ever written in that magazine. I don't know if anybody missed last month's magazine, but get it. And read it. It was a really good article.
Chris actually, before the magazine was published, he goes, hey, I want you to check this out, and he sent it to me, and I read it, and when I got done crying, I texted back to him and said, dude, that was awesome. And I went to work the other day and brought the magazine and was doing a little reading, and I got to that page and I looked at it and I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not going to read that here, and went out and buy it again. And it was definitely just awesome piece.
My good buddy Jerry, which he was at the last time Rick was at my garage, Jerry was there, you know. And Jerry Harmon. So I buy him a magazine, you know, so he can always read it. So I gave it to him. I said, just make sure you read this one article. It's about Rick. You'll like it, you know. He texts me later the next day, and he's like, hey, you could have warned me. I'm in my kid's wrestling tournament. I'm bawling like a baby over here. He's like, you could have warned me about that. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
I just want to say, Chris, that was a really good article.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know, it's good.
Thanks. But, yeah, what I think we're going to do is pretty active with a lot of the model community, too, and making replica cars and it has been just gaining more and more momentum as the winter's gone on, and I think what we might do is have a crash course model contest where they have to submit their photos, sort of similar to the way the applications are online, and then we'll just kind of pick, like, our favorite four, each of us pick a favorite, and then we'll put it out there and see if the listeners can vote on a winner.
It'll probably say Decker on it.
You know what I mean?
Hint, in that contest.
So, but I thought, and then, you know, if
it's
we
a good
could,
idea.
I thought it might be kind of fun, a little different direction with it.
I've actually judged some of Chris's model shows back in the day. And then he quit liking me or something and quit inviting me down to do it. I don't really know. But
well, because I was getting 90 entries a night. And, and you know how hard that was to get through? I didn't want to subject you to that.
So what you're saying is that it was just too much work for you to do and you couldn't handle it?
This year it didn't go so well. This year I got so much going on that I lost track of that one.
You know, it
was like a couple weeks ago, and last year we had like 90. This year I had like 5.
You know what the funny thing is, too, about models is Chris makes models, and they are awesome. He's made some for some other guys, and they are awesome. When we went to Bash for Cash this year, Chris goes, hey, he goes, there's a table out there with just models. Check them out. I'm like, are they as good as yours? He's like, dude, we're in Ohio. Everything's better in Ohio.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah. He's like, check it out. And sure enough, the models are awesome.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Chris does. He does a great job with the models.
I looked at them. Isn't it amazing those guys are, like, doing inside cars and the details and the fuel pumps and the, like, it's like, damn, this son of a bitch thought this, you know, he built a car in a model.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't like putting that much work on a demo car and they're doing it for a model.
Get in the garage, just build a full one if you're going to do it. Who am I?
Yeah, I don't. I try and put effort into mine, and I gave up. Somebody took a car and built a wagon to the detail where he actually had the Wicked Rides tie rods in the front end that were oversleeved with the right ends and stuff. I'm out.
Yeah, that's too much work. Man.
I'm out.
It's awesome,
but it's beautiful. I mean, the car is clearly a work of art. So we're gonna try and reward some of those guys too here coming up. We got more details coming on it, and. Not going to be quite as intense as some of the other projects I've taken on with the model stuff, but we'll still try and still keep active in it. Joining us on the hotline right now, Greg Johnson, promoter from Impact Motorsports up in Canada, coming out to talk about a term that is common in Canada that we don't really hear much stateside is the Mini Smash, which the Fall Brawl for Impact Motorsports is going to have a $10,000 purse for compact cars. That's pretty cool, Greg.
Yeah, thanks for having us on the show. We're really excited. We kind of threw this out on Facebook just before the new year hit, and
everybody saw it.
Back from all our drivers, and kind of see where they stand, and if things like that are going to be supported. And the response was just off the hook.
Yeah, I mean, you guys got to be excited now. How are you going to take $10,000 and distribute out to the 400 compact cars that are going to show up for that?
Yeah, when it comes to that, that's when we're going to worry about it. That's a great issue to have and a great problem to have. It's as far as we know, and you guys can touch base on this. And I'm not new to this sport; I've been around for 25 years. We don't think there's a mini class or a compact class anywhere in the world with that sort of prize money anywhere.
No, there's not.
No,
Bash is paying like $3,000.
Yeah,
it's $3,000 to win, but I don't think they have a total of $10,000 in their purse.
Not for the compact.
I think someone's got a 4,500. I think right down to not Virginia's or North, somewhere down that way.
I think they were gonna do one last year, and it didn't end up.
$10,000 is like 10 times more.
that's crazy.
I mean, that's awesome money, man.
Crazy.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. We've been running that show. This will be our sixth year coming into 2015. And 5 or 6 years ago, we were looking for a cleanup show in our area, something that guys could, come and clean up their junk. It really wasn't worth saving over the winter, and they could start fresh and get all their gear out and stuff. And the first year, we kind of put our heads together, and we held it in our hometown, which is one of the biggest derby areas in Canada.
Hotbed.
And we had 118 cars the first year, and we're kind of hoping we would have got like 50.
That's awesome.
Last year was the fifth year, and we've had about 1,300 entries in 5 years. The last 2 years, we've come into about 300 cars.
Wow,
that is awesome.
That is.
That's a 1 day event. We don't run that over 2 days or 3 days. We wreck those cars in about eight and a half hours.
Wow.
That's nuts.
I guess there ain't nobody sandbagging up there.
No. This is your show this year is booked for October 24th, right?
Yeah, October 24th. It's in a little town called Lindsay, Ontario, or in the Derby community, Ontario, or in Canada. They call it Derby Town, and I was kind of given that nickname about 4 years ago or so, about the second year after the brawl when we hit 200 cars the second year in. And we also run two shows at our local fair that we promote, and we usually get generally anywhere between 75 and 100 cars per show there also. So it's a kind of a suiting name as Derby Town Lindsay got.
Greg, what kind of rule setup do you guys have up there in Canada? More stock style, or are them compacts going to be pretty well built? And what about the V8s? You guys run more stock or built?
We there's kind of a variety, and we try to, with our company, we try to have a variety of build rules for every person. For, you know, obviously we've kind of got into the Power Wheels, which is, you know, something to start the kids out off and grow up into that. And a couple years ago we started with the youth class, and we run about 10 different classes. We call it Pro Mods up here, and our Pro Mods, like our V8 class, isn't the same as a Pro Mod. Like if you go to Blizzard Bash, it's full-blown Outlaw. We don't have that, but we have a, you know, straight stock or a wire class, bone stock, can't sign the, you know, the same platform of build. We have vans, we have a couple different truck classes. Nice. Our mini class, it's what they call a pro mini. So it's not wide open, but there's a lot of things that you can do a car that it's, you know, not going to explode in one show.
Right.
A lot of the guys' car choice up here is just like a front-wheel drive Cavalier. But, you know, they can put an 80 newer bumper on the front, you know, weld the doors, tuck the trunk, you know, put a cage in it, that sort of thing. And a lot of these guys in Ontario, you know, as they travel to the States and watch derbies and partake in them and watch, you know, Wheat Crash and different things online, just like everything else, their build progresses and they learn new things and pick up new tricks. And also as a promoter, you know, I watch what's going on also, and so we kind of try to stay with the times with some of these builds. Now, with that being said, last year at a couple of our shows, we ran a mini stock class, basically a wire class, and I'm going to progress that a little bit more and run a few more of those shows this year and kind of have a bit of a mixture, trying to keep them play the... 30-year-old guy with, now he's got two kids and they've got a mortgage and car payment, and they, you know, they don't have a lot of time and a lot of money to put these cars on the track. So we're kind of trying to cater to them also, so they can still compete, they can still have fun, and it's within their budget and build means.
Yeah, it's important.
Yeah, it's definitely good. I mean, when you have a broad scope like that, and you kind of have something for everybody, that's definitely a way to, you know, keep drivers happy.
How hard is it to find cars out there? Is, you know, like, it's hard in New York, so I would think in Canada it would be even a lot harder to find stuff.
It's funny that you, when you say, Decker, you say out there, because I'm, like, just north of you by, like, a few hours, so.
Okay.
there's lots of cars out there. The problem we have is rust. I mean, that's why our Pro Mod or our, you know, our 80 and newer built cars, it kind of went for a crap. Because there's no cars around here, so the guys are going south, and it comes back full circle. A lot of guys can't afford to do that, so that becomes very limited on that class also. But I mean, guys up here, they find what they can, they make work what they can. There's actually guys starting to go down south now for mini cars, so you know that's starting to evolve too. That's into crazy. You know, things, you know, the big cars that guys started to go down south to get rust free stuff. The mini guys are starting to do that too as payouts evolve.
So Greg, you're straight up above us.
I'm about an hour and 10 minutes northeast of Toronto.
Okay. Well, hey, we'd love to have you at the Derby party. I mean, I'd love to have some Canadians come down. I don't know if you have the time for it or whatever, but in February it would be kind of cool to see some guys coming from that far. Maybe push some of your drivers to come down. And
Rick Clark's going to be here.
Yeah, Rick.
There was talk of a couple guys coming down. I'm not sure as my calendar will allow me to come.
And I think Bobby's still
there. Was
to come.
Talk of a few guys. So.
Nice.
We're just outside of Toronto, and I know there's, you know, a lot of our supporters that are listening tonight, and I know there's a lot of, you know, guys that listen to your guys' show, which is awesome, every week, and,
you
know, they've never heard of us, a lot of them have never been across the border, I'm sure there's a lot of them Googling right now where Lindsay is, because the $10,000 perked their ears up.
Yes.
For all those guys that are listening, I mean, from Buffalo to our track, you're like 3 to 3.5 hours. Detroit, you know, we can get to Lindsay in like 4.5 hours. Watertown area, we're like 3 hours. So, you know, it's not like you have a day and a half drive to get here. A lot of these guys in northern Pennsylvania, you know, upstate New York, all that can be to our facility in, you know, 4 to 6 hours.
Well, it's great to see guys going from state to state, but really, when you start getting guys from Canada swapping around, that's pretty cool. I mean,
that's very cool.
I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely.
I've been driving for 25 years. I've been down to the States, and I've drove down there, and a lot of my buddies, we go down and drive in the States and so forth. And we kind of sat back after we completed Fall Brawl 5. And, you know, with that many cars, the this year. Total purse was close to $30,000 this year. But we try to strive to do something on the next level every single year. And, you know, I said, I want to get some guys from the States up. I want to get some American drivers up. We want to get some different blood into the scene.
Yep.
And our local drivers can't wait for that. They can't wait to compete against some of those guys down there.
Well, you know what happens too, Greg, is I think people get sick of always derbying against the same guys. Everywhere you go, it's the same 10 guys like I go. And when you start getting a derby against other guys, it brings more excitement because you can hit somebody and they don't get mad about it. It's back to being derby. And when, yeah, you know, absolutely. It's like, no, seriously, around here you get mad when you hit each other. We all hate each other. But when you go to somewhere you don't know each other, it's like, well, that's what's supposed to happen.
At Whitney Point, everybody got along good down there.
Never.
and it's true. And so, at some point in the derby, it seems, if you're friends with guys that are on the track, the excitement sometimes isn't as good as if you're going to beat on some guy that you don't know, especially when there's huge money up for grabs.
Hands down.
Jesse Bolton spoke real highly of Impact Motorsports. And Impact Motorsports, Christy King did a profile on Impact Motorsports and Greg in the last issue, yep, of Derby Inc. magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She did a great job on that. She's really covered Canada pretty well. And we appreciate her support on that. And Greg, man, how hard is it a decision to make when you decide you're going to invest $10,000 in a derby?
Well, we kind of, as we sat back and we were trying to look for that next level to send that show to, on average, our mini class is almost 100 cars alone, just in that single class at the Brawl. Average entry fee for that last year was $60 entry, and the feature paid out $3,500 to win. The total purse for the minis was somewhere around $8,500. You know, so as we sat around, you know, working in towards the holidays and so forth, some staff and I were putting the idea out there. I said, well, let's throw it out on social media. Let's put it out there and see what kind of reply we get. We don't want to put a show on where it's not going to be supported, where the drivers, you know, think it's too much money to put out on an entry fee. And, you know, we want to be very careful. We're trying to operate a business also, so we want to make sure that we've got the support before we move forward with something like that. And it was just tremendous. As we put it together, the format together over the next week, we actually launched it. We had a little bit of a social get-together here at Impact HQ on New Year's Eve. We actually put that out on Facebook right at 12 o'clock midnight into the new year, and it was just, my Facebook was just nonstop text messages, emails, and so forth over the next 24 hours. Had a lot of response from guys in the States wanting rules and so forth. So, I mean, it's one of those things that you felt like you almost had to do. Wanted to make sure you had the feedback from the drivers that they're going to support it. And go from there.
Greg, how did you do that? Did you take the money that you made last year and push it towards a new purse, or do you find sponsors? And I'm just talking from, you know, getting promoters' minds going here. Or do you get a sponsor to give you all this money to get that? How did you guys attack that?
Sponsors are very hard to come by, as you know. You guys know, you guys are trying to push for a show, and you know you're involved with a lot of shows, and anything from a fair show up to, you know, a high dollar show like Bash for Cash or, you know, Blizzard Bash or so forth. Sponsors are very hard to come by. Big money sponsors are very hard to come by.
Yeah, definitely.
Trophy sponsors are hard to come by. So with that being said, you look at sponsorships, you have to look at gate revenue, whether you're, you know, want to roll some of that into that purse to try to take, to lift that off. You want to make sure that you've got the drivers are going to support it also, because let's face it, it's pretty hard to put on a big dollar purse, you know, like $10,000 with 25 cars entering.
It's impossible.
It doesn't make good business sense. And we, you know,
no,
we really
it doesn't
feel that.
Seem to be.
We will get some sponsorship. We've actually had some calls from a couple of guys in Ontario that are wanting to put a bit of money in, not a ton of money, but a little offset.
Yep.
Our gates do very well at that show. And we're willing to take some, essentially that's money out of our pocket, that's profit that we work hard for, and we're, you know, we're always willing to give that back to the drivers. They put on a fantastic show at that event. Anybody that's been to that derby, like Jesse Bolton's supported that every year, it is by far one of the hardest hitting derbies out there. And I've flown out to Blizzard Bash and watched that show the last 2 years. And that show is off the charts on hitting. And I would say, you know, our show at the Fall Brawl is right up there also. It's a hard-hitting show, and we feel we're not going to have any problem getting the support.
Now, awesome. I guess the biggest question, and I don't know how easy it is to for you to be able to answer this, how difficult is it to get a derby car across the border one direction or another?
It's not difficult really at all. First time I went across the border was in around probably 2000, 2001. Me and a couple of guys went from Ontario. We went, that's when Charlie was still running Mayhem. No, there's not really any issues. They don't ask for ownerships. We call them ownerships here. When you travel, obviously, in the States, they call them titles. I've driven in Mayhem a couple of times. I'm going to Bash for Cash this year and to Mayhem this year. You know, as long as you come up to the border, they just want you to be honest with them. Going to a demolition derby or a competition, it's kind of funny because some of these guys at customs, whether it be the Canadian side or the American side, they don't even know what a demolition derby is. We just sometimes call it a competition. One of their biggest concerns are you leaving anything behind? You know, you're traveling down, everything that you're going down with is coming home. You're not buying anything. Anybody that's traveled from, no. You know, in between Canada and the United States.
Nope, we're good.
Not buying a thing.
It's not difficult. I mean, if you make it difficult for yourself, it'll be difficult. But, I mean, if you've got a record or so forth, then sometimes you're not so welcomed into the country. But
yeah, no DWS.
A lot of the guys that are listening tonight, you know, they've traveled back and forth, and there's really no problem.
Nice.
Well, excellent, man. Congratulations on it. I mean, I think the way that everything's come together for you is outstanding. I mean, the show's growing and growing and growing. We're hearing more and more about it here stateside. And the driver support that you got up there that's helped this show build the way that it has to get you to a point where you can invest $10,000 in a Mini Smash class is outstanding.
It's awesome.
Very, very cool.
It's good for the sport,
man. Yeah,
we're
really happy, and maybe we can get some of you guys up and do a podcast or something that weekend. That'd be great.
We'll be in touch. We gotta give some thought into that because we just found out that one of the promoters that we're pretty close with down in Virginia has got some stuff working for October as well. So I mean, this
by we I, means Chris.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. I didn't bother telling Josh anything about it because he would want more details that I don't have.
Thank you.
I didn't even bother telling Ben because he would want to know what time I was leaving.
Yeah. Now, Greg, I want to say it's really awesome what you're doing because giving back big purses for drivers, I mean, that goes right back to drivers. And if we can keep pushing the next level up, now all of a sudden 10 years from now we're looking at some guys getting 50 grand at a derby, you know, that's
that would be cool.
Let's just keep pushing the envelope with each other,
and at that point when you are giving away that's a big figure.
That's a
lot of money for, oh, yeah, for a motorsport event that's essentially a local level. Mm-hmm.
I work all year for that.
And that's the point where everything is going to change. Yep. Advance Auto Parts isn't going to be able to ignore you at that point.
Exactly.
O'Reilly isn't going to be able to ignore you at that point. You're going to be drawing, like what Greg said a minute ago about how it's hard to find sponsors at that point. You're going to be attracting.
Eventually, you hope guys win as much money as they put in.
That's cool.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So let's just try it.
That way you really do only have one happy driver.
You understand what I'm saying?
You only ever have one happy driver anyways.
But imagine you won a $10,000 derby. I mean, that changes. First off, that's life-changing in a derby world. Everyone will know you. Plus, all that money you get to reinvest back in the derby. You know,
that's,
I mean,
a lot of cars.
And it keeps you in the sport, man. It's 10 Imperials.
10 grand.
I can buy 10 Imperials of that.
And run them at one place.
Yeah.
You know that's what I would do.
Josh Decker went through 10 Imperials in one summer.
That'd be awesome.
Sam Bandow is laughing at you.
That'd be awesome.
If you went through that many, you did it wrong.
Yes, that's very true.
No, he'd fly Sam Meyer to help him build.
You're damn right.
Just the amount of time it would take to build 10 Imperials.
Yep. No, you'd hire somebody.
Oh, man.
Brett does. I'd hire somebody. And then
you'd hire more people. Excellent. Greg, is anybody that you want to make mention of, any sponsors or any other information that you want to get out there so that people can find out more about Impact Motorsports?
Yeah, my biggest thing is you don't want to forget somebody in those mentions. There's so many people that make that show possible. And, I mean, we promote 50 shows in Ontario over the course of the summer. We run 50 events for the biggest promoter in Canada. I mean, I've got an awesome crew. Most of my guys either drive in derbies right now, or they've driven in derbies for a long time in their life, which is very, very important to me when I pick a staff member. They've sat in a car, they've spent hours in the shop and built a car, and they know what it's like to be out on that track. And I think that helps a lot. So my staff, you know, they do a great job. And I've got a business partner in this whole thing, as we all do, and that's my wife. And she was the one actually to push Impact Motorsports into creation. And I've been around the sport for 25 years. And so we started coming on 6 years ago. So, I mean, without her, without the rest of us, you know, having a great lady in her life, a lot of that wouldn't be possible. So,
good for you. It's awesome.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Greg, man.
Hey, she's a driver, too. My wife her and I got together almost 10 years ago, and she'd barely seen a derby in her life. And about 4 or 5 years ago, after I've, you know, drove 6 or 8 shows every year, she's like, I want to give this a try. And guys like Jesse Bolton, he will confirm that she kicks most guys' ass every single weekend out on the track.
That's great. That's
awesome. Excellent.
But that's not a shot at you, but Jesse, by the way, either.
That's funny.
Well, great. Anyway, so, and I think that's very important. A promoter that's somebody that's just not a say kind of guy, that he's a do kind of guy. And he sat in that seat. I mean, I go down south. I just came back from Iowa and picked up a car for Mayhem. I mean, I drive all over. I spend hours building cars and hours out in the shop. And I think that's good as a promoter, that you can kind of wear that hat, because there's lots of promoters out there that have no clue. They yep. can't tech a car. They don't know what it takes to build a car.
Too many.
If you're up on the current
on the track of a cheap call, they don't know how that feels. They don't know how disrespectful the drivers.
Yep.
I mean, all that stuff is a tenfold issue with being a good promoter and getting respect from the derby community.
Staying up on the technology lets you know what you're looking for when they come through inspection line. Greg, man, I appreciate your time tonight. I'm glad you made it back safe from Iowa, and we really want to make sure that we keep in touch. Let us know who's winning your shows out there and where you're going to be running. Looking forward to crossing paths at some point this summer.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you having Impact Motorsports on the show.
You bet.
I try to listen in whenever I can. We have a pretty busy schedule, but you know, we appreciate, you know, your guys' show, and it gives us something to listen to, and you get some big names in the derby community out there, and we enjoy it, and you guys are fun to listen to, and the Derby Ink magazine is pretty cool to read, too. Oh. So we appreciate that, and
thanks,
want to thank
awesome.
You guys for
awesome.
That.
Awesome, thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Means
thanks,
a lot.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, good to know. Good to know that stuff's reaching out and it's getting to the right people. Thank you for that.
No problem.
Like I said, keep in touch. Let us know who's winning what, and we look forward to catching up with you here this summer.
Yeah, man, impactmotorsports.ca for the Americans. It's not .com. It's .ca up here in the north of the world. But we're kind of slowly starting to put
I didn't even know that.
And stuff for Fall Brawl 2015 up.
I'm glad you said that, Greg, because probably no one in America would have known that. I'm glad you said that, because I wouldn't have known that.
Impactmotorsports.ca. Greg,
thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Wish you the best.
Have a good one.
Take care.
See you, man.
Dude, think when this show started.
Greg Johnson.
Yeah, eventually people in Canada will be listening to you. Remember, we were trying to get people in Penang to listen. Now we got
No, we weren't.
Well, somebody. Just anybody turn their thing on.
I just wanted Dan Bolton to listen, then I knew I made it.
That's so cool.
Oh, boy.
It's because of Crash Course that Dan Bolton came out of retirement, I'm pretty sure.
I agree with that.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's awesome, the stuff you guys are doing, you know. I mean, it gets... I don't know. It's just, you want to be a part of it.
Thanks,
so to
speak,
right. You know?
We get to drone on to dozens of people every Monday. Actually, we got, according to that number right there, it says we got 50 listening live. So, and we know that those numbers are less than what they are. So that's cool.
A couple hundred.
Again.
Yeah. I don't know if you caught this. Mayhem Bone Stock and Compact Clash registration closed today. Icon Class has opened. So that was kind of interesting that, you know, here we are only 5 days in and we've got entries going all over the place. And then Joker's got some Bash for Cash news. You been following this?
No.
Joker's at it again. Man. Joker's
been pulling some awesome iron in.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
God.
So Joker wants his parts to be legal at Bash for Cash. So basically, if he's making money off of Bash for Cash, Tim and Russ said, then you need to take some of your money and put it back in. All the sponsors and stuff are
awesome.
Occupied. Okay. All the sponsors are occupied. So
okay.
What are you going to do?
So smart, Tim and Ross.
So listen to this.
So
70s
smart.
Wire Class is going to get a Mad Dog Award from Joker. $1,000 of his money plus a 74 to 76 GM car stripped and ready to build for the flyer show.
Smart Joker. Dude, that's a great idea.
Right?
Wow. Dude, that's awesome.
So, the car is going to be in Ohio, stripped out, ready for you to take it home. It's your responsibility.
You go junk your shell, and we'll give you a fresh one. As yep.
Plus $1,000. Plus $1,000. So, basically, essentially, the wire class there, that stock 70s wire class, you're going to make more money for the Mad Dog than you will for winning the show.
Let's run that class.
So,
you got...
You think?
Listen, guys from New York, just drive out
why
there.
Why wouldn't you run that?
Drive how you drive and win the SOB. Somebody from our area win that SOB.
Pretty cool, that's, right?
I have no doubt.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
You let me go drive flat foot, and you'll hand me a car afterwards and some cash? Done. Think about it, Dan.
Great. Now we're going to leave earlier because Decker's going to haul a car to Ohio. Wonderful.
I was thinking we'd take a couple compacts to Canada, buddy.
You build them. I'll ride them.
They're easy.
You build them, Dan. I'm there.
You got the man that lives right up the road from you that is the king of compacts in New York State. Who can give you a hand. Our boy, help me, Chris. Come on. Who's the king of compacts in New York State?
Guy Raymond. That's true. Guy, build me some cars. Haul them up there.
You're going to have more Luminas than you know what to do with.
Dude, but you're going to be sore because those babies hit hard.
Oh, yeah. We saw that.
The thing is right now, out in Dunkirk, Brian Gonzalez and David King's wheels are just spinning. Because those two own it. The Glowniacs run out there quite a bit, too, and the Nickersons run quite a bit out in that part of the country.
That's only like a 2.5-hour drive for those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Canada, I hope you're ready. Because when those guys start bringing cars, and then Hank Pensick and Eric Remington get a hair in there, and then they decide to go.
When Hank shows up, you know someone's getting jumped.
Yeah. You know, Hank drives hard.
Flat footing.
And this is taking nothing away from the Canadian drivers. We're basically just name dropping our friends.
Yeah. Well, you got to give Greg, you got to give him positive here because he's being smart. We're in Nelson, Canada. You're hearing guys saying, we want Americans to come. Please, whatever it takes, I'll put more money on it.
Yep.
Hey, again, this is a guy saying, I'll do more for you if you show up.
That's right. Let's invite those guys so we can stomp some Yankees.
Yeah. Yep. I'll take that chance for $10,000.
They had that mortar war at Metal Destruction 2 years ago when they had that team derby, and the Canadians were out of their freaking minds.
Yeah, they were junk and stuff.
They were nuts. Bobby Cousineau was in there. Yeah. Reg Bono.
I think they rolled over some of them PA guys, right? I think Kevin got rolled over.
Crazy Horse got sent up over the berm, and it just about cleaned out my camera.
Nice.
I liked it when they stood it in a teepee on the first shot.
That was
one of the most incredible impacts I've ever seen in my life. That was awesome.
That was outstanding. That was
great. No, that's cool. And $10,000, you got to imagine these guys are going to it ain't going to be junk compacts.
No.
These SOBs are going to be built. And
when they get done, they're going to be junk, but it's... I've had the luck to meet a lot of Canadians over the years through racing, and really great guys, really enjoy having fun, and I could definitely see them driving hard in derbies.
It's like really when you come back from that show, because there's not going to be anything to bring home.
Nah.
You just leave the car there.
That's what I would do.
Why are you coming back out of Canada into the U.S. with an empty trailer? Well, because I won, sir.
You know, the funny thing is we race and we went to and these whoever if somebody from the States won this and they'd run into the same problem when you're coming back and across the border and you go to the duty free station and walk in there with $6,000 and say, can we exchange this? They look at you really funny because we want to at 2 o'clock in the morning we were coming back, we want to race in Canada, we get to the border, they're like, you know, could we help you? And they're like, yeah, we gotta exchange this. And we made it back across the border, but they will look at you funny when you show them a lot of money that you got to exchange.
Yeah, I've had some rough nights on the border.
And we have a story from Brian that didn't revolve around Waterloo.
Well, I was going to say that we met the Canadians.
The
Canadians.
You thought about it, right?
But the Canadians that ran Waterloo did stay at my parents' house, but I didn't want to infuriate Josh Buell.
And there we have it.
Infuriate.
So Dan's coming back for a second year. Got to bring your Chrysler out this year. Got a couple Best Appearing Paint Awards. Got a couple broken axles the first time out, but you ended up destroying it the second time around when you ran it the fall at the Smashdown. I mean, nice to be back or what?
Oh, yeah. I think I've got it worse this time around than I did the first time.
Good to hear.
You know,
good to hear.
I got a little one at home, and she loves it. And,
yeah,
you guys know that. I'm
that's why your color's purple, right?
Yeah, she wants to incorporate a little white in there this year for the
let her do what she wants.
So we'll have to figure something out. But yeah, I love it, man. I don't know. Being away from it, I think was a good thing. And
sometimes you just gotta step back and recharge your batteries.
I can't.
You know, really. You're getting
close,
dude.
You don't see in motorsports.
let's talk to you in like July and see how you're feeling.
That's why I'm angry and mad. And I hate everybody,
dude. I remember a couple times I talked to Decker last year. Summer. He's like, dude, I'm just burnt out. I've ran 12 shows in 4 days. And
I was burnt out.
I'm just burnt. And I'm like, really, Josh? You've been from Massachusetts to
Time of year, and I'm like, man, I can't wait to run all these derbies. I can't wait to.
Dude, you're thriving now though, so I probably won't even bother you anymore.
Smash some stuff now.
He's been sending me pictures left and right, man. He's a machine. Saturday, Sunday, don't matter. He's in the garage.
But you don't see guys leave motorsports and come back to it.
You usually don't.
You don't. I mean, once they're out for the year, the year is the worst opportunity for relapse in that first 12 months. And then once you get past that, you realize you got a lot more spare time and a lot more disposable income than you had when you were still in the midst of it. And you don't see guys come back to it. Now you're talking about from last year where you ran one car twice. Now you're talking about maybe even building two cars.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you are.
Yeah, I'd like to put two together this summer. But
well, the sounds of it, you're going to have to work out about seven.
A couple, Dan.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know. You know, it got to a point where it wasn't fun. You know, I was doing it a lot of it, not as probably as much as Josh, but, you know, and my wife was pregnant at the time. And
still
she
doing more than Brian Tompkins.
Yeah, she wasn't coming to the track.
Because Brian's retired and 55.
You know, so it's you got to have fun with it. If it's not fun, there's no sense.
You're
in
just going to burn yourself out.
And I don't know how you put that many cars together.
I burn myself out.
I don't know how you do it.
Let's be honest. Josh has got a pretty dedicated crew that comes in and does a lot of work while Josh cooks on the grill and stuff.
You know, that's not even true. I mean, at the end of the day, I build and build and build.
Jeremy Gulley tells me that he's got a pit man there all the time doing the work.
All right, Josh. Last year when you were talking, Josh, just shut
your headphones off. It's not going to go well.
When you were tucking trunks and doing body work. Tell us a story about swinging that hammer.
No, just get right over it. That's why I got big guys. Let me tell you, if you're going to have a crew of guys, have really big guys, because they can sit there with a hammer all day. Because I get like five whacks, and then I just hand it. And then Vern will go for like half an hour.
And then switch hands, and then go another half
hour. They laugh at me. Okay, I'm a small guy. What are you going to do?
What was it when he picked up two transmissions by the tail shafts off the ground and took them across the garage?
That's awesome. Another time he picked up a bench seat with one hand right out of the back of my truck. He just curled it and then walked into the garage. He's like, Decker can't pick this up.
If you're going to have help, make sure they're big.
Yeah.
You never know where you're going to need, but
Dan's
a
right,
pitch.
Though. You got to like play that borderline of where you personally get burnt out. Me, luckily, I don't do anything else in my life. I play with my kids, I play with my old lady, and I build
that
derby
cars.
Sound
good.
You know? Hey, it is what it is. Yeah.
And there you have it.
That's a first.
I do about three things. Sometimes I go to work. You know, other than that, I'm.
On occasion, you deer hunt.
I do that sometimes, too.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I can understand. I took a few years off, like Dan did, or I took a few years off. You know, Dan took the one, but I come back and I would like to run more, but it's just not feasible for me at the moment. I mean, you know, I'm going to King's Old School, and if I have anything left, I'll go to the hometown. But I would like to do more and travel more, but you know, I feel like if I go farther, I can't just go there and be a field filler in my mind. I can't. You know, I want to go there feeling like I have a chance to win.
See, I've had many times where I was a field filler. To me, that doesn't bother me that much.
Well, I can.
Sometimes I just want to go junk shit. Sometimes I just want to go to a show. Sometimes I just want
to. But you know what, though? The thing is, though, is it's getting so hard to find a car that you can go out and junk shit with and make it last more than two or three hits that isn't in crazy money.
You just got to spend the crazy money.
I don't have the crazy money to spend.
I don't either.
None of us do. That's. I don't know how we do it, to be honest with you.
Priorities. It's like, I don't feed myself, but I'll buy a New Yorker.
I've been known to sell more cars than
kids were.
Yeah,
kids were
I've heard a lot of stories of Dan selling cars.
Kids were going out to dinner. Daddy bought a New Yorker, so it's roller dogs for everybody.
I don't know. We went to the Decker household for a meeting, and there was some awesome pizza, and we were treated great down there.
How does Katie feel about eating dinner at the local Rite Aid?
She says as long as everybody's happy in the house, everything's cool, everyone's fed, she don't care what I do with the rest of the money. So
perfect.
For me, it's very nice over there. Done. I'll say that.
Absolutely.
Take care of the kids.
Dan was working on his Cordoba here over the weekend, but then things just weren't going right, so he shut the lights off before he sold it.
Dan, I learned how to fill that with concrete today.
Dude.
I got to talk to you about that.
Dude, I snapped a couple keepers off inside the frame on the back, too. That was enough to send me over the edge.
I'll show you. Yeah, Doug. Yeah, I'll show you how to fix that.
And I fixed them, but then my welding helmet, my battery went in that. And
hashtag
that
not
end,
legal.
That was the end of the day right there.
Listen to this welding guy. His battery and his welding
we
helmet.
We don't know anybody that wears. There's guys that weld without welding helmets.
How would you dare do that, man?
Mike Brown doesn't wear a welding helmet.
Jesse Keel's dad
doesn't wear a welding helmet.
Jesse Keel's dad kept his eyes wide open and was welding with a He should have saved the beads he was laying. They were awesome.
How the heck did he see after
He plasma cut with no shoes on. It was the craziest thing
Mike Brown says, unless I'm going to weld all day long, I won't wear a helmet. If I'm just tacking and doing stuff like that, I don't need a helmet. But then he said his 14- or 15-year-old son does like 90% of the welding for him now, which is amazing. He just got his knee fixed, so he'll be back at the derby shop soon. But there's some derby families
We got to let everybody know about some of this stuff, and then we'll be right back to it. Well, that didn't. What the heck is going on with this thing? Just do it this way.
That's crazy. And you thought last year was huge. The Bash for Cash returns to the Demolition Derby Limelight Memorial Day weekend 2015. Every bit of action is returning, and there's some more added in. DerbyParts.com is back with the 80s newer class paying $11,000 to win. DerbyTees.com is back paying the Turn Back the Clock winner $10,000. And now the Compacts are cashing in, vying for at least $3,000 in their championship event. Action is planned for May 23rd and 24th, again at the Fayette County Fairgrounds in Washington Courthouse, Ohio. Early inspections are planned for Friday, May 22nd. For a full rundown of the schedule and divisions, visit www.smashitderby.com. Bo Lockwood Motorsports is primed for a huge 2015 season. Having expanded to include four massive shows, Bo Lockwood and his team look to change the face of Demolition Derby in western Pennsylvania. Their schedule opens May 9th at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Brookville, Pennsylvania. It will include one of the richest stock shows around, paying $5,000 to win and $400 to start. The card includes full payback lawnmowers and separate $500 to win truck and compact one-and-done events. Attention then turns to the all-new Keystone Nationals, now being hosted as a standalone event June 27th at the Westmoreland County Fairgrounds in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. The limited well division winner will pocket $10,000, and every feature starter is guaranteed $400. A 1,000-to-win stock event will be joined by a 1,000-to-win compact feature and full payback lawnmowers and the debut of the Power Wheels. The focus then goes back to Brookville, July 18th, for the 3,000-to-win Jefferson County Championships in Brookville, Pennsylvania, and the season concludes July 25th with a return to the Clarion County Fairgrounds in Clarion, Pennsylvania. All green flags drop at 6 p.m., and Bo Lockwood has more announcements to come, so stay tuned to Bo Lockwood and Bo Lockwood Motorsports on Facebook. Get ready for Napa Winter Slam. Napa Auto Parts will bring you the coolest outdoor derby of 2015, scheduled for February 7th at the Blue Earth County Fairgrounds in Garden City, Minnesota. Promoters Randy Maslowski and Jeremy Ertman have tons in store for the earliest outdoor derby of the year. The headline class will pay $1,500, with the compacts, 80 stock, and the event's new truck division each paying $1,000 to win. There will also be most aggressive and longest tow awards, and at this point, all classes are full with only a few vending spots remaining. In the event of weather complications, officials have booked February 14th as a rescheduled date, but only if needed. So come out, dress warm, and break up your winter with a four-division derby featuring some of the top derby talent in the Upper Midwest. Green flags are at 2, and Buster Sports Bar and Grill has been locked in for the after party again this year. For more information, visit Napa Winter Slam's Facebook page or contact Randy Maslowski or Jeremy Ertman via their social media pages.
It's comfortable.
My bad. And we're back. Another bit of information that came out today was that the rules for the Hartford Fair are now available online. You'll be able to track those things down in the next day or so, also on SmashedEmpireMedia.com, along with rules for a bunch of shows now. I mean, that's really becoming a spot where we can find all sorts of rules and information if you don't if you don't have a Facebook account or something along those lines, which must be there's only about six people left in Demolition Derby that don't have a Facebook account, but who knows? You know, the information's going to be out
there.
First,
you guys are going to delete them because they can't handle the stress stuff.
Hey, I got an announcement.
What's the announcement, buddy?
I got a really good one. I didn't even tell you I was going to, or did I text you and say I wanted to announce it?
I don't know.
I'm going to do it anyway. What I want to announce is, you mentioned it last week, but I don't know if a lot of people caught on to it, but I want to announce it formally tonight. Kings of Old School is going to be live.
Josh, the stream just dropped.
On pay-per-view. Listen, Chris, I, Brett, we've all sat together. We've ironed it out. This is going to be on pay-per-view. So I've had a lot of guys that are talking about coming out of retirement, a lot of guys that haven't run much, a lot of guys that want to run from far away. This is a chance for, if you live in the East Coast, in the Northeast, to get ourselves out there. Let's let the rest of the country see how we derby. And if you ever thought of yourself, I want to derby on TV, which I've been saying it since I was four damn years old,
I want to be on TV. I want Derby on TV. If you ever said it to yourself, come to King's Old School. That is going to be on the best pay-per-view there is out there. And I'm excited for it. Like, for me, I've always wanted to have it on TV. I've always wanted to be on TV. I'm being dead serious.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm so excited that we've all worked together to bring this out there, and I hope this kind of catches on and guys are excited about it. But for me, it's a really big deal. I know for Chris, it's a big deal. And I can't wait to show the country what it looks like, where my passion comes from. You're going to see how these guys junk cars. You're going to see heats of 10 getting junked in 5 minutes, and you're going to see why I love Demolition Derby from our side of the view that maybe you haven't seen on TV in the past. So I'm excited.
It's exciting. We're going forward full bore with it. We've got Keystone Nationals. We've got the stock show. We've got Kings of Old School right now on the pay-per-view docket. We're going to be traveling probably just as much this year. I don't know if everybody's going to be going to all, because everybody got pretty exhausted last year. But we're gonna split the workload up, and yeah, we'll figure out who's going to travel with me, because I kind of have to go to all of them. It's not like I'm begging not to either.
Chris will be at everyone there is.
I love it, and this is shaping up to be just as busy a year as it was last year. And I don't know how much in terms of the video stuff, the DVD stuff, but we're going to be just as busy with all the rest of the stuff that's going on. And then on top of that, we expanded the magazine to be 6 issues for the course of a 12-month period. So a lot of good stuff coming, And then we've got, of course, the Four Kings of Old School. Get on there. We need some of your vital information so that we can get the materials to you. But tell us why you over anybody else, that you should be the guy that Smashed Empire gets behind, and you'll get a roof sign, get some door numbers, some apparel from Reckless Abandon.
How cool
and
is that,
and you'll
man?
Be
it's awesome.
Then, and your entry's paid. You'll get your entry.
Is Josh Tucker going to sign the car too? Or
I'll sign your car. I'll sign your forehead, your baby's forehead. I'll kiss your baby. I don't care.
Here you go, Josh Tucker. This is the question. If you were running Kings of Old School,
Sam Bando just messaged me and said, "Cancel my application."
if you were running Kings of Old School, what would you run?
A lot of controversy in this, because usually I'd say Shocker here, and this is just purely by what I would go. But reading the rules, I personally would run a Cordoba. I know a guy said it to me today. They're effing junk. I personally think that would be the car to run. But let's be honest. I mean, a Shocker, a Cadillac. To be honest, on that track, I've seen every kind of make and model win on that track before.
Absolutely.
Brett could go on that. You could go on that. Anything has won that track.
Be careful.
It is really going to come down to drivers. It's going to be a whole day of driver quality. You know, there's going to be guys out there junking stuff. You're going to have to be the guy that avoids those guys and drive smart, because there are guys that are just going to be there to ruin other guys' days, especially when they hear it's going to be on TV.
And not only that, though, but, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, let's say that you're a little bit more heavy-footed. You know, you make it to the feature and your car's a little spent. You can go out and just hold it to the floor and have a chance of making a grand. That's more money than you win at most county fairs in New York.
I have a question.
That's exactly right.
Same ballpark. Winter Slam's coming up in less than 4 weeks. What car would you run there?
A midsize. I wouldn't run a full-size car. I'd run something small to let it skip around. Let me get kind of beat up around.
I told Kenny Roswell he should bring another Cordoba.
He did good with it.
He did.
He had more than enough car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I know some guys that are bringing a couple Fords. I know another guy that's trying to pick between a Y-frame or a Cordoba in a New York or a Shocker.
Yep.
Whatever he brings is probably going to be tough
all
regardless.
All of them are going to be hard. But this is for... I wouldn't want to go for a Winter Slam.
Winter Slam.
I wouldn't go a Vic because they're so light. You know, especially, you know, everyone's going to have a built rear in it. So you put gears in a Vic, you're not moving on that track.
Tires, though. I mean, you take a little bit of gear out, put some good tires on it.
But there's a lot of wild card with that, too, because you don't know how hard that track's going to be. I mean, they could get something that's unseasonably mild, and they get a couple, three,
they
4 days.
They could get all the way up to 20 degrees.
Yeah, they get a couple days of clear sun and 30-degree weather, and that track's going to be a little bit different than
different.
What we saw.
I agree. But remember, that heat, that's the last one of the night. Usually the track is
greasy
as hell, just because all the coolant, the oil, the
and it's coolant there because it is...
Yeah, freezing cold.
Yeah, first time I'd ever seen it. I'd never seen coolant in cars until we got there, and then they're like, duh. Josh, it would froze. It's like, oh, duh.
Yeah. And how about it? Congratulations to Randy Maslowski and his co-promoters, Randy, and there's a third guy, Randy mentioned him, voted into one of the top 10 shows in America.
Yes.
Dude, did anyone see that?
Yeah.
That That was an awesome list.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Maybe I'll throw this out there. We were at a chunk of them.
Four out of the top five.
Four out of the top five?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
so promoters heard that, just in case you haven't.
So one of the promoters that was in the top five said that, you know, why is Winter Slam in the top five? And I'm like, well, it was a good show. And then he goes, well, that's part of it, but you guys talked about it for a year. That did happen, too. I mean, it was really cool to be able to share those promoters. Because that's a huge feather in the cap. Bo Lockwood getting number four. Randy Maslowski getting number five. Yep. Sam Williams taking number one with Blizzard Bash. And then right on the heels of that, you've got Bash for Cash. Those two are right there.
Yeah. I mean,
it's what do you want? Do you want to be inside or do you want to be outside? Do you want to be off-season or do you want to be in-season? What do you want?
And there's so many great things about this one, and then there's great things about this one that are different. I really, you know, Blizzard Bash is crazy awesome, but, man, Bash for Cash was badass.
Right off the top. Is that apples to apples?
No. No, it's not. And again, you're on team over here where we're pushing team on this one. This one is just, I mean, we watched 400 everything get wrecked. I mean, that was a real.
And this year it's going to be closer to 600.
That was a real derby. Like, that's kind of like the old school style where it's just like, I don't know. So many cars.
Did the old school derbies, as you like to call them, did the old school derbies last 12 hours?
No.
because I distinctly remember Sunday, lasting 12, 13 hours.
Actually, it was longer. Well, they started at noon and we got off air.
They started at 11.
We got off air at 1:30 in the morning.
God.
Yeah, and then we got home.
Then we drove home and had to take a detour.
It happened.
Too beautiful.
Thanks for getting us home, guys.
It's part of the game.
Now, that show is that's impressive. I mean, the amount of cars there, but also each class has the highest quality of drivers in each class. So even compacts, trucks, stock trucks, but they're all high quality.
Look at Keystone National slipping in there at number four. I mean, Keystone National slips in at number four. I mean, taking nothing away from Bo. When Bo took over this show, it was the Jefferson County Fair.
Yeah.
And he literally took a county fair built it up to the point where it's the Keystone Nationals. Now that thing stands by itself at a different venue so that they've got more space to put everybody. And five days into open registration, they got almost 40 cars lined up.
Look at the quality drivers at Keystone.
When we got to stand up in an inspection line and shoot the shit with everybody as they're coming through, like everybody that comes through, it's like, oh, man. You know, like there's so many great. And then it's like, what does this guy got?
Most of the shows this year?
I get.
Remember, we didn't see probably a third of the cars that were registered for Keystone Nationals because of whatever various reason that those cars didn't show up. And it was a rainy, sloppy, muddy mess, and they worked all night to get the track back. And feature time, it was awesome. So imagine how much better that show would have been.
Yeah.
Dry.
Yeah. Oh, that was the best feature I ever seen on us. Going into it, you're like, this is a nasty, sloppy, it's going to be a shitty feature.
But it was great.
Oh, my God. The traction they were getting, the hitting they were doing, was like, are we on mud? These guys were junking each other, you know? Pete's out there running with no steering wide open. And
for
just
three
like,
quarters of the show.
God, I was on my feet for a lot of that feature.
How about Corey Roman? Look what Corey did. Showed up with a car that was already waffled.
It was junk. And he drove it hard all night long.
Then he went through the consi and got Mad Dog of the feature.
If he hadn't got hung up on that wall, he would have still been pounding at the end, I think.
He wasn't when hung he got, up. He
well,
wasn't
he was
hung
in that
up.
Slop right in front of us.
The back tires weren't on the ground anymore.
Well, yeah, hey, he bananaed it a little bit. But
a little?
It was like a boat almost. His tires were spinning so much, the mud was keeping it going, you know? You're right, he was kind of like bananaed out.
Had he run paddle tires, he'd have been able to go through the mud bog.
Dude, his motor was nasty.
He should have borrowed a set from Pete Hansen. Rumor has it he had like 16 sets down there.
It was like a late model trailer. What tire compound do you want
to
run?
Pete set people into madness. When I got there, Pete had them aluminum rims, some full solid aluminums that Brad Zinski made. People were losing their mind. I mean, everyone that come past me is like, did you see Pete's wheels? Did you see Pete? It's like, yeah,
and
I
Pete,
know. I see
Pete played it so cool. He goes, he just leans on the door of the car. Show me in the rules where it says I can't run those. I mean, whether he's even planning on running or not, just getting into your head.
The question is,
look what time it is.
You think he'll be there to defend this year?
Well, right now, here's what I think. There's an attempt to defend, I should say. There's a Riviera. There's at least two sitting in his compound that haven't sold yet. They're turnkey ready and they haven't lost. So that you should probably bring out to Bo's cleanup show that he's going to have. Put anybody in it. Just see if it can win again. Just for the heck of it.
It's a good idea. I actually like what you're saying right now. It's like, go stick his wife in it and say, go win.
She already won with it.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Now just stick her in it over there.
We personally know somebody that was offered the first Rivi that he won with wherever. Said, hey, you tell me where you want it, and I will bring it, and it will be yours to run. and this person turned it down. But
I mean, Josh, you jerk.
You know,
I'm glad because I would have had to run against it that night, and I'm kind of feeling better that it didn't show up, to be honest, because I would have hated Junk Chris. But, you know,
because I would have pulled up next to you and I would have said, Decker.
Oh, man. Imagine if you would have pulled out there with his, though, man.
I would have known what to do.
Hold it on the floor.
Just, that's what I would have said. Chris, hold it down on the backboard. Backboard.
You know what? I would have hit Brett Relly nose to nose, and I would have done this to him. As soon as I hit him, shut it off, Brett. Shut it off.
Yeah, but then
you would have backed up out of the track.
But then with Brett Relly, found a way to beat you at the end of the show, you would have been pissed.
Yes.
And I would have been happy because Josh Buell would have won.
For the record, that was Chris Marquardt that said that. M-A-R-Q-U-A-R-T.
It wasn't Waterloo, though, so it wouldn't have been nearly as special.
Well, I know, but I don't want to get involved in any late season ball buster getting made up for by anybody.
Jeez, everybody's so freaking sensitive.
Not really.
It has been a sensitive month.
It has been.
You know why? Because everybody's ready to see some cars get wrecked. But clock's ticking. I mean, Pine City is literally 20 days away down in Tennessee. Nikki Baker's going to be taping that one.
Dude, our year is just here already.
Like, yeah.
We just ended it.
Yeah.
We got about 8 days off. Thanks.
Well, it was funny because Saturday night we had a surprise birthday party for my wife, and I was talking with a couple buddies that were there at the Derby, and they said, well, where are you running? I said, I'm going to Brett and Josh's show. My oldest son goes, Dad, when's that? I said, May. He goes, we only got 6 months. We got to get working. Yes, buddy. Well, we'll get it out soon. But the funny
Brett
thing
is, Josh's show is in June.
That's what I mean, June. June 6th. The funny thing is, though, is the closer we got to Blizzard Bash, talk to a couple guys we know that run there and run on teams, and I'm like, are you guys ready? Not even close. I'm like, it's good to know that the
I'm going to build my Blizzard Bash car in 3 days.
Jimmy Johnson says he starts it, drives it on the trailer, and wins derbies. And I say to myself, I don't believe you.
I talked to Bobby Brockway. He's like, yeah, I got a lot of time. He's like, I work best under pressure. And I'm like,
I work best under pressure.
Jeremy Gard. And I'm like, a lot of people say that, and it's just, but maybe there's some
truth. Well, now, all of them.
Yeah. Think about this, what Jeremy Gard said. He said, had we not won our heat so fast the first night, I would have found out about the problem with my transmission. Yeah. And we'd have been in the A-Main would have been a completely different perspective.
So true.
Yep, that's true. That is true.
Clock has run out of sand already.
Bolton didn't even talk a lot today. You didn't talk about how you're going to win a bunch of shows this year.
You can't win a bunch of shows if you're only running two, bud.
Well, you win two. Huh? You can win two.
Didn't say something profound. We'll wait.
Yeah, we'll wait.
No.
Go ahead.
Just looking forward to the 2015 season.
There you go.
Should be a good time.
Anybody
you
want?
You better not bag this year. Even though I've been begging him to bag.
I'm not going to bag, man. It's not in my makeup, man.
If you would bag a little bit.
No. It takes a lot of like Josh Shecker said, it takes a lot of talent to sandbag.
It takes it really patience. A whole nother game is over here on the sandbagging. There's a gentleman in here that's taught me that. You can just sit in a corner for the whole time, and then you win derbies. It's like this. I'm going to try it.
Yeah, but like,
if you make three hits a minute, right?
I make three hits a minute.
Three hits a minute. Yeah. Well, what if I slow it down and I make one hit a minute?
Hey, then it.
All of a sudden.
See, I have that.
I try teaching everyone that.
I have that mindset, though, if you're sitting there and half the time something bad breaks, you break something, then you sit there and you think to yourself, what a horrible run that was.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't want to get myself in that predicament. So as soon as it,
so the best thing to do is to back up as far as you can. Man.
But Dan, do you ever think that the 3 minutes that you go out there and stand on it, if you would have just half throttled it, you would have got 6 minutes and you would have got more out of the derby. I know this is a fight because it's a mental struggle for guys, but you don't always have to go balls to the wall. You have to trust yourself that you're going to be there at the end, and
I've
that
never
you can
seen
slow
a,
that down.
I've never seen a Y-Fraver dump the way that it did at the Firewall.
I don't think like that. See, I don't think being there at the end. I go down there and tear it up, man.
Hey, that's a different
I remember hearing a conversation of the pits at the Smashdown show, the Total Destruction show at Morris in September, and how Dan and Eric Eberling were going to run together. And I watched the video back, and the first thing Dan did was back up, close his eyes, stand on the throttle, and drive right through Eric's car.
You know, I didn't even realize that was him either. That's the, you know. And he says to me afterwards, like, dude, you took me on the first shot. I'm like, I'm sorry.
He backed up and he hit him at like 30. Backed up and Eric sits there with his hands off the steering wheel
and does this.
Dan? And you know what Dan does to make it better? Hits him nose to nose, so at least there's no confusion.
I don't know about you guys, but when they say go, man, I have a hard time.
You got to practice.
It's just go,
the way he was out there driving, I'm like, we got Dan Beattie out here. The only thing he didn't do was pick a fight with him afterwards.
I actually had a guy come up to me after that derby and offer me every tool in his toolbox, his torches, anything I needed. You know,
that was cool.
And that was the guy that
you waffled that, that you waffled that shocker, and he goes, "You know what? You're a heck of a driver. I want to be on your good side, sir."
I was like, "Jeez, man, that's pretty sweet.
Why don't you use my tools since I won't be needing them the rest of the night?"
And he was another guy that wanted to work together too. I don't know.
Dan Bolton has no friends.
You got to practice that while you're out there. You got to calm down.
It's nothing personal. You know, you just go wreck cars, have fun, shake hands.
I don't know. I watched you run last year in an 80s Newport, and they said go, and your foot didn't come off the floor.
Me?
I think it was turning like $8,000.
I got pissed early, and I just held it right down. I know. Brett, I get out of the heat, and Brett looks at me and goes, "What the hell was that?" I'm like, "I don't know." Yeah, I remember him like, "What the fuck was that?"
He did a lot of yelling that night, because after the feature is over, I'm standing there angry at the world. He comes up, he goes, "What the hell is that?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" "I told you to hit him first. You should have went after him." Da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, "Yes, Dad. Yes."
Every time
he says something to you,
you might as well do it, because he'll always come back and say, "I told you so."
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's it, Chris.
End the show. I think we got to end it. We're pretty close. But that 80s car that you're talking about.
St. Regis, which I ran.
Yeah. You know what, though? I got to be honest. Made for some great footage.
I broke about everything I own. I broke a Magnum, a brand new Rick Tranny.
You ruined a Magnum in that, too?
I've been breaking everything.
That's awesome.
My stuff don't last.
I wonder when the last time it was Brett Rallier broke a motor.
That's good.
I broke his last one. He gave me one to borrow. I broke it.
All right. We'll be able to get into this more again next week. We'll do this again on episode number 67. That's going to do it for us. Guys, thanks for joining us. And that's going to do it for this edition of The Crash Course. We'll see you next week.